I'd like to call the Newcastle City Council meeting for April 16, 2019 to order. May I please have the roll call, please?
Deputy Mayor Newing.
Here.
Councilmember Simpson.
Here.
Mayor Dauterman. Councilmember Bissett.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Present.
Councilmember Kameen.
Here.
And Councilmember Majors.
Present.
May I please have a motion to excuse Mayor Dauterman?
I move to excuse Mayor Dauterman from tonight's meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 6-0. May I have a flag salute? I apologize, people. Flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May I have a motion to approve the final agenda?
I move to approve the final agenda.
Second.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it 6-0. Public comment. Anybody? Seeing no public comment. We have our commission chairs here tonight. Mr. Gadsick, would you like to give your planning commission report?
Turn on. Turn on.
Needs to be read.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor and Council members. Last month's Planning Commission meeting was mostly about information, about learning about 5G, and talking a little bit about planning for the future, for a future of deliveries from Amazon and other folks, like other companies like that, and making space for them in new developments so that they don't block traffic. No decisions were made. It was a rather quiet meeting, but I'm happy to entertain any questions you have about any commission business.
Do we have any questions for Chair Gadsick? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Lewis, Community Activities Commission report.
Good evening. Our last CAC meeting was a demonstration of how to use the new audio system. Thank you, City Clerk Sarah. And we also had a brief run through of Robert's Rules of Orders for small boards, which was very helpful because we have new members on the CAC within the last 2 years, and it was a good reminder. The agenda was basically information on works in progress, such as Newcastle Days. And Alan White will be playing closeout on the second day, which is September 7th of Newcastle Days. And this is a really early Newcastle Days. I kept wondering if it was the right date or the next week, but it's really early in the month. In addition, there are a number of special things planned monthly. Now, this is one you need to remember. If you go over to the food and produce stand this month and say, Happy Birthday, Newcastle, you would get 10% off on your perennials or annuals. Everyone will who remembers that. Coming up in May is a dog adoption and puppy training at Lake Bourne Park that's put on by the Newcastle Youth Group. And they really have spent a lot of time working out the details. And I asked why there weren't cats, but they didn't want to do anything for cats. I think training for cats is something they don't know how to do. Okay. In addition, plans are underway for a silver celebration dance prom the end of June, which is primarily for silver-haired folks, but people who want to dance like together, and more details will be coming out. We're working with Aegis on that program. On May 4th, there will be a HOA Neighborhood Leader Roundtable meeting at the library, and we've had 22 or 23 neighborhood or HOA groups that have responded. We're waiting to see what the number is going to be, but it's going to be a start of a program to get together with these leaders and tell them about Newcastle and engage them in Newcastle and see what things they want to be involved. It also will be a good way of getting volunteers for numerous activities. It was also announced that that Four Culture recently awarded $9,000 to Newcastle's collaborative proposal. I'm reading this because it's quite a title, to the 2019 Creative Consultancy Program. What this does is the funds will work provides for working with a consultant to work on a arts and cultural plan for the city. And staff members are on this, as well as Ed Flash, who's part of the Art Council and also the CAC. So, do you have any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Councilmember Mitchell?
Thank you, Chair Lewis. I see in your report here that City Clerk Sarah gave an explanation and instruction on Robert's special rules for small boards. Was there a discussion? Let me ask you my question. My question is what was the general consensus of the committee on that? If you didn't have a discussion, I'm assuming you're going to have one at a later date. But
we had a discussion.
May I ask what that
was? She showed us how the unanimous consent for small boards worked. It's not as formal as which you have, but works better for our group because we have a lot of programs in action that we do at the meeting. But we then can go to the formal motion, second, discussion, but it's more of a collaborative way of dealing with it.
Would you say that it was a favorable?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Everybody was very excited about it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Because I've been around so long that I've been criticized over the years for not being formal enough with Robert's rules, and really it works wonderfully for our group. I don't know if that would work with the planning or other groups, but it does work for us.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Chair Lewis, thank you. And April being National Volunteer Month, I want to thank Chair Gatzik and Chair Lewis for your service, as well as your commissioners and being great volunteers. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, council comment. Council Member Mitchell, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I just want to say that since we are being recorded, I'll be very precise. I would like to say it's uplifting that I've had the opportunity to talk to eight interested people in the upcoming positions for City Council. So it's just, as I said, been uplifting.
Thank you, Councilmember Simpson.
Okay, thank you very much. I have a question for staff, and I'm apologize for not bringing this forward before the meeting. It's about an item on contract on the consent agenda for the auditor bills, and that's for Project T 47, which is the May Creek Park Drive pedestrian improvement, non-motorized plan improvement. That the contract was entered into because that project was an active project in 2018, and the contract was entered into in March 20th, 2018 with the consultant to do design and engineering work for $62,300, although the project was only budgeted at $60,000. The project is not budgeted for 2019, but I question why the city manager signed an extension of that contract to extend the contract into 2019, and that was signed for the first January 8th of 2019, when we haven't appropriated money for the project. The council has given direction via the budget that project's not happening in 2019.
I think, Jeff, jump in if I...
Yeah, this is just an extension of work that didn't get completed in 2018.
Right. Well, we haven't budgeted any more money.
You carry forward.
The contract's already executed, and we're just finishing it up. So it's already an encumbered contract.
Have they already earned the $60,000?
Yes.
I think we're presenting their findings.
Next meeting.
Next meeting.
Their what?
Their findings to the council at the next meeting. So the city council 2 years ago or so added this project during the budget.
I understand that.
And so it basically was a study about adding sidewalks and other improvements on May Creek Park Drive. So that's complete. That study's complete, and you'll hear about it most likely at the next meeting.
Okay, even though we're not working on, even though the project's not an active project in 2019.
Well, it wasn't complete.
It's finishing up from 2018.
It's just finishing up. So just like any other capital project that rolls over across the year boundary.
Yeah, I just don't want the consultant to feel like there's money in the budget for them to do work this year.
They are only what they're contracted for and with any change orders, so.
Okay, even though it was extended to December 31st, 2019.
Correct. Because we typically, when we extend a contract into the next year, we extend it for the full year.
My concern is the assumption that projects always can roll over to the following year. You remember when a consultant was hired many years ago to the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, that wasn't rolled over.
So I don't like assuming that the council is ready to keep spending money. And it also involves staff time for this year to keep going forward when we didn't appropriate money.
Sure, but that project, if I'm guessing, was probably 90-something percent done on December 31st.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So we're not going to stop and just throw it all away.
I don't expect you to throw it away because it is programmed to go start up again in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We hope
depending on what you decide, depending what you decide at the next meeting or during the capital project or portion of the budget and later this year.
Thank you.
So, Councilmember Mitchell, or Majors, did you have a question?
Thank you. What was that project number again? Was that 47?
Yes.
47.
All righty. Is that one, perchance, that the Finance Committee approved an extension of early this year?
I don't think so.
Or was that just carried over?
So. That was just a carryover.
I don't recall. So
yeah. I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments, Councilmember Simpson?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Councilmember Kameen.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment, and that is very soon we will be approving a affordable housing proclamation, to an important proclamation, and it's talking about the importance of supporting affordable housing, and I just wanted to make a comment that when I was going around the city in the context of affordable housing, when I was going around the city talking to our citizens, a lot of people were concerned about the affordability of the houses that they're already in and the issue that property taxes are going up. Various taxes are going up. We've certainly gotten a couple of emails about concerned citizens where the waste management fees are going up. And I just want to say in the context and in the spirit of affordable housing, I think we need to keep that in mind for all of our citizens as we look at additional revenue or taxes that we might be considering for the city. So just want to make a comment.
Thank you. Councilmember Brissett.
Yeah, many of you probably don't know, but last Thursday I had an attack of vertigo where the room starts spinning around like crazy, and so I went to the hospital. Everything's okay right now. Haven't had any attacks for 3 days, and the room right now is not spinning. So
give us a couple hours.
Give us a couple hours.
And hopefully it won't.
Yeah. Thank you.
Councilmember Majors.
I'm pleased that you're feeling well. That's great and good to hear. And I have no further comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any comment, although probably like many of us, I was very shocked at the fire at Notre Dame yesterday. Having been there a few years ago, it was very sad to me.
Yeah.
But all right. Consent agenda. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I would like to pull an item from the consent agenda, please.
What item is that?
I would like to pull the proclamation.
Approve the final agenda.
Do you have a question about it? Or
no, I'd like it read into the record like we do. And that's why I don't want to leave it on consent.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to read it
right now?
That would be great.
If that's what you'd like,
that would be great. If it's approved on the consent agenda, it goes in automatically.
Correct. It's on the written record. I want people to be able to listen to the, who listen to the meetings, to hear it.
Do that.
Last week, the consent agenda was read. The last meeting, it was read. The meeting before that was on consent.
Okay, just
I'm getting confused about proclamations being read or being on consent. We're not being consistent. They should be read, and they should be adopted by council, a proclamation.
Okay, just for efficiency purposes, our council policies do not require us to read the proclamations. Out of courtesy, we do when we have a recipient here to accept it. I will read this, and then we will move on with hopefully approving the consent agenda. So, City of Newcastle Proclamation. Whereas all people should have access to safe, healthy, and affordable homes within communities of opportunity, and whereas a study published in 2012 in the Journal of Urban Affairs showed that every $100 increase in rent is associated with a 6% increase in homelessness in metro areas and a 32% increase in non-metro areas. And whereas, according to the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, between 2011 and 2019, the fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment in King County increased from $1,176 to $1,899. And whereas, the January 2018 point-in-time count found 6,320 people in King County sleeping outdoors without shelter, and according to the most recent data available from HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, 475 families in Newcastle during 2015 were considered housing insecure because they were spending more than half of their income on housing, and whereas the Renton School District identified 629 homeless students during the 2017-2018 school year, and the Issaquah School District identified 172. And whereas the combined cost burden of housing plus transportation can be substantially reduced by locating affordable housing opportunities in proximity to transit, and whereas everyone benefits from affordable housing, including the people who reside in these properties, their neighbors, businesses, employers, and the community as a whole. And whereas the Association of Washington Cities has determined that enhancing efforts to increase affordable housing, decrease homelessness, and improve a strained behavioral health system was a critical priority for the 2019 legislative session. And whereas, united in an effort to raise public awareness, communities throughout King County are participating in local Affordable Housing Week efforts to inform the public of the critical need to preserve and increase affordable housing in our communities. Now, therefore, I, Alan Dotterman, Mayor of the City of Newcastle, Washington, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim the week of May 13 through May 17 as Affordable Housing Week in Newcastle. By this proclamation, the City of Newcastle endorses the goals, objectives, and purposes of Affordable Housing Week, and in doing so, recommits itself to ensuring that our community thrives with opportunity and that all people in it live with dignity in safe, healthy, and affordable homes.
I move the council accept the proclamation.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the consent agenda, proclamation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor of approving the proclamation?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. All in favor, may I have a motion to approve the consent
move
agenda?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Have a second.
As modified.
All in favor of approving the consent agenda as modified?
Aye.
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 Okay, general business. Item 8-1, tree discussion. Council members Simpson and Kameen, I believe you requested this be on the agenda. And if you can please explain your position on this view and what your ultimate goal is tonight so we can work toward achieving that goal.
Sure.
Is that okay if I start?
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Camino and I have had a couple of conversations on how to frame the discussion this evening, Finance Director Don Palmer is prepared with some financials on fee in lieu. We wanted to focus on city-owned trees. We're not talking about publicly owned trees. We're not talking about private property at all. We want to talk about what the city is doing with its own trees. And as we noted today, it was a great day to be doing this. If you've driven around the city, you've seen that all the trees are popping out in pink and purple and white and green and beautiful colors, and it's just wonderful driving around the neighborhoods, the bright pink, and as I was going around looking today. But if you noted in the agenda packet, the city's cut down trees at considerable cost. In one, there was $12,595 expended to cut down five trees. That's a lot of money. It's actually more expensive to cut down trees than it is to plant them. And you'll see that in the agenda packet. That was one bill, and the other bill was $2,750 to take one fir tree down at 144th place. So we recognize it's very important to take good care of your trees because it's very costly to cut them down, and that is an expense that we're constantly faced each year to maintain the trees, the city-owned trees. So we wanted to talk about those city-owned trees as they occur in parks and open spaces, in native growth, protection, easement, and other tracts that the city maintains. And the second thing we wanted to address is the use of fee in lieu funds that was adopted in 2014. The city has accumulated $231,149 to date since 2010 that we have in the kitty right now. We've expended only $28,000 in planting trees. The problem is we don't know how many trees we've planted. In the agenda packet, you were given a copy of the significant tree ordinance that developers have to comply in retaining significant trees on their site. And the city only requires them to retain 25% of the significant trees. And then added to that, the significant tree is defined as a substantial tree that's 8 inches or more in diameter and something for fir trees. And then if the arborist finds that the trees are diseased or dying or decaying, they're not considered significant. I recall specifically Track J over along the entrance to the Highlands, where that arborist found that most of the trees on that site were substandard, and they were all exempted from becoming significant, so there were no trees retained on that site. So in grading projects with the hills and the critical areas and so forth, and trying to create level areas for homes, the developers have also been given leeway to remove a lot more trees because they have to regrade the properties so substantially. So in doing the tree count, more often than not, the developers are taking out significant trees, then they're being required to plant them at a replacement rate that's double the caliper of what they're taking down. So if they take down a 24-inch tree, they have to replace it with 48 inches of new trees. So at 2-inch caliper trees, that's 24 trees they have to plant when they took down one 48-inch tree. So that's a lot of tree planting. And they can't find places in their developments to plant all those trees after they've counted the street trees and whatever they can put in the front of yards or the back of yards or stormwater tracks or whatever. So the city in 2014 adopted a fee in lieu process. The fee in lieu process considers, as you read in your agenda packet, the cost of the tree, the transportation of the tree, the cost to plant the tree, and the cost to maintain the tree until it's healthy for 2 years. And I would assume that in implementing this policy, the city would also use those guidelines of the transportation, the cost of the tree, in determining how many trees we're going to plant. This is a in my opinion, as I read the agenda packet and what was adopted in 24, this is all about the number of trees, not about dollars spent. So we don't know how many trees we've planted for $28,000 to date. And part of the state law is that if we don't, this is to mitigate impacts to our city. And if we don't mitigate those impacts in a timely fashion, we have to return the funds to the developers. So that's where we are with tree fee in lieu. Is it Councilmember Kameen, would you like to add to that what I've described?
I'm moving too fast.
Okay. Since we brought this topic up, I think hopefully to summarize a little bit, I think there's three areas that we need to be thinking about as a council. The first one, which is I've just been learning about, and that's with regard to the tree in lieu funds. We have this $231,000 that was given to us because of developers not being able to replant trees, and those funds are only available for 5 years. And so it seems to me that we need to be able to manage to track those funds with regard to the trees and make sure that we are defining some projects that can be used to expend those funds. I have a clarification question on that. I'm assuming that the projects that we have that will be doing some plan or that we define to use those funds, figure out where we want to plant some trees and plant them, that all of that can be used for the project. All of those dollars can be used for the project. Would that be correct?
Yes, I believe so. You're saying we can use the money for all the aspects required.
All the aspects of the project. Yep. Yes, yes. Okay, trees, work, consulting, whatever. Okay, so I think probably the most important thing that we need to do is to make sure that we're tracking that and defining projects that will use those funds before they are no longer available to us and have to be returned to developers. So that's number one. Number two, just following along with what Councilmember Simpson talked about, we need to be looking at some kind of a maintenance plan and how do we handle the aftermath of cutting down trees in the city, and is there additional maintenance that we need to be doing? So maintenance and replacement of trees, I think, is the second thing of interest with regard to trees. And the third one is what kind of a plan do we have, or how can we get a plan in terms of where do we want to install trees or plant trees or maintain trees? And I'm not sure that we have any kind of plan right now or a plan for a plan. So that's something we obviously is not in the budget for this year, but we do have these dollars in the tree in lieu trees in lieu fund, and right now we are planning on spending $50,000 of the money, and we got $135,000 in 2014, so we're going to be losing approximately $100,000 if we don't spend $100,000. I don't know, we may have to amend the budget in order to do that, but I think we need to take a look at that and see what we can do to take advantage of those dollars. So those are the three areas that I think that I'd like to hear other council members, if they have any opinions on that, and then maybe we can move forward with a motion or two.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Well, if you want, before maybe you do that, if you want me to try to just maybe at a high level address those three things, and then that might focus council member questions.
Great.
So I think taking council member Kameen's three, which I think include, in essence, what council member Simpson mentioned as well. The first one was need to be able to track the funds and expend them on time. So there are, we have a couple pieces of information Don put together and Jeff put together that shows how much we've spent. I think your numbers are accurate, around $139,000 or so that we still need to spend. We do actually, and this actually ties into your third one, We've been working with a consultant to develop a plan focused primarily on Hazelwood Park. That is the bulk of our requests for action related for trees. I would say the majority of them anyway come from that park. So that is a tract that it's city owns. It was dedicated a long time ago. There are a bunch of cottonwoods, a bunch of other trees in there that have, you know, fallen down over the years or are leaning or scare people who live adjacent to that park. So we spend a fair amount of that arborist and tree company money that come in and remove the trees on that park. So we've decided to focus on that. The thought being, if we can go in there and remove the dead, dying, and non-native or cottonwood trees and replant those with healthy trees that are going to thrive and grow up in that area, they'd have a much better chance of surviving and reduce our costs on the back end of taking them down. So that contract is nearly ready to go, and I think it's probably finance committee level. It's about $30,000. Right now, it's a roughly $30,000 contract to do a plan. We've been trying to knock that price down a little bit, which is, for this discussion, a little counterintuitive because we need to spend a bunch of money, but it's really hard to not try to value engineer contracts, so it kind of goes against our grain a little. The plan right now is to basically have that contract, bring it to the finance committee, and then by the summer, kind of have that plan complete. And I think, do you want to bring that slide up actually with those where we are, the dollar amounts, Jeff? You can get a kind of better sense of how much we have, how much we've spent to date this year, and how much we still have to spend. So there you go. So that is... that was our, hopefully you have a photographic memory, but while we try to get back online with that one, we'll bring that back up, but we're basically, with the amount of money we've spent on some random tree improvements, we have about $10,000 that we're spending this year for Coal Creek Parkway median for planting trees in there. I think it's about $30,000 for this study that I just mentioned. And then out of that study, it should be a significant amount of money of spending on trees to plant in that park. Our hope is that we can complete that by the end of this year, certainly encumber all of the funds and the planting by the end of this year. There might be a little bit of money. We calculated roughly $15,000 that we still have to research a little bit. That's from pre that ordinance that we might not have spent.
Pre-14.
Exactly. Pre-2014 that might not fit into that, but here we go. So here you can see we've got about $138,000. So we spent $33,000 on the Risden Trail. So we planted a bunch of trees. We had Renton School District plant a bunch of trees as part of that project. This nearly $30,000, the $28,930 for the plan in Hazelwood Park. A little bit of money on Earth Day, some other random tree planting. Coal Creek Parkway is about $9,000 for those trees. And then this is an estimate at this point at $65,000, because we don't have the plan yet, of planting trees in Hazelwood Park. This is a little aspirational at this point because we don't have that plan yet from the consultant, but that is our plan for the year to try to expend that money. And just kind of a broader statement about all of this, you know, there are a lot of things that cities do, a lot of things that we do well, that we're used to doing. Things like planting trees are not our normal course of business. We don't have people dedicated to planting trees. And so it's something, you know, we can't just go out. I mean, we could, but we don't often go out and just buy some trees and plant them somewhere. And so this money is rolled over the years. And part of the reason, you know, there have been projects like Lake Boren Park Master Plan. There was hope years ago that project would kind of come to fruition a little bit earlier, and the chance to expend a big chunk of this money as part of that was what the hope was several years ago. More recently, you know, you're familiar with the DeLeo Wall property. It possibly will line up by the end of the year. It's a little too early to say how that's going to go, but there is a possibility of expending funds as part of that as well. But right now, this is our plan to try to meet the goals that you guys talked about, or your concerns with potentially losing this money. So this is our plan for your kind of number one of your list of things, and I guess also your number three out of the three you listed. So we are on track currently, at least for 2019. This is the plan to get there. And then just real quick on the third, on the second one, because I think the bulk of the conversation will be around this. I think you mentioned something about a maintenance plan after we cut down trees. We generally don't, I mean, our, you know, we don't go out and replant. So if a tree comes down, someone calls us and it's a dead or dying tree or a dangerous tree, and the arborist comes out and says, yes, needs to come down, we typically don't go back out and plant a tree in that spot. We kind of move on to whatever the next issue is. So back to what I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, it's not something we're really hardwired to do and go out, go to a tree farm, buy trees and plant them. But so that is a hole in kind of our process if that's something the council wants to discuss. But again, it's not something we typically do. So anyway, that's kind of the broad overview. And if you guys have some specific questions, we're happy to answer them.
Councilmember Majors.
Thank you, Chair Newing. In looking at the numbers, both on this slide as well as those that are budgeted, we had an Exhibit 2 on page 55 of our packet that shows budgeted amounts for spending on spending of mitigation funds, I'll call it. Mm-hmm. And so looking at this slide, if we have like $230,000 or so of currently in our fund, we will only have $100,000 left if you achieve this balance. Is that correct?
I think that sounds correct.
About that.
Yep, give or take a few thousand.
And it just brings me to look at the forecast for monies that may be available for this purpose. And one of the items of interest is that there are no new funds shown coming into the forecast for years 2020 through 2024, and possibly our finance director could address that or
well, I can
not.
I can try to take a stab at that. Part of it is we don't know. So development comes in, and it's not something upfront that we know how many trees they're going to take down, or if in fact they're going to have trees that they are going to not be able to save, and then therefore have to pay a fee in lieu. So this revenue is that's the source of the revenue. So we have an overall parks fund where this money sits restricted in the parks fund, but in terms of the revenue source, you're correct, it's solely from development, or I should say it's typically from development. Sometimes there are issues where someone has cut a tree or done something illegal and there's a fine. I think Councilmember Simpson maybe mentioned it last meeting or it's maybe it was an email I saw from you, but there have been fines over the years that the city has put on property owners that have gone into this fund as well.
Okay.
But again, we don't really have the ability to necessarily plan for how much is coming 1 year, 2 year, 3 years out.
Okay, so just a follow-up then to that. The answer, I guess, would be is that there may be additional funds.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We just can't forecast it. It's sort of like big development revenue. We don't know what will happen.
Yeah, even harder than that, right? Because even if you know the big development's coming in, you don't necessarily know what they're doing about their trees.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's cheaper for the developer to keep, if they're able to keep the trees and not write us a check, all things being equal, they'd prefer to keep the trees and not pay us.
Okay. Final follow-up, and that is, we have these monies, and I know we can't, probably cannot change the purpose of these funds related to receipts in the past, because they were governed by ordinance when these funds were received, ordinance on the books at that point. But could this council address the use of these funds for future purposes and amplify the utilization of those funds, such as for the potential purchase of park property, as an example? That would be preserving, hopefully, tree space if it was used to purchase park property.
Yeah.
Or LOS, limited open space properties that happen to be treed. Or even where we have trees in parks currently, maybe for capital improvements in those park areas that we currently have. So my point is, I don't know if we always want to be just planting trees with this money.
Right.
Because we have very limited spaces these can go in, and I think that we could amplify, I think that we could amplify the use of the funds through modification of our ordinance.
So if I may just briefly address that. So
please.
The city already has a park impact fee, and that was adopted under state law. It's a very rigorous formula for that. And as you know, you can acquire capital assets under that formula. I believe because the fee in lieu is under a different statute, it's 8202020. It talks about impacts that have to be mitigated, direct impacts. So the sense, and as you see from your ordinance, is that the impact itself is the cutting down of trees. And if they're going to mitigate with funds, the mitigation itself would be a account tied to that impact. Let me think about it, but my first response was those need to be tied to the mitigation that created the need for the funds, which would be trees, not general acquisition of a park. But let me think about that, because that's expanding. It's bleeding yeah. a little bit into the park impact fees, and that's what I'm trying to avoid. But good question.
And just to your question, one thing we considered in kind of preparing for tonight, and in fact, when we get to the council calendar, you'll see there's an item on there unscheduled, amending the tree retention ordinance and proposed at this point, of course. And the thought, the way the ordinance is written now, I think it specifically says the money has to be used for planting trees. We were talking about the ability to use that money to buy trees or buy
preserve
trees. So if you think about,
so again, tied to trees.
Yeah. But so it's still right. tied to trees, not just raw parkland. So the DeLeo wall, mm-hmm. the Dalpay property.
Or digging a hole. And yep. you want to expand it more than just
that's generally the direction I was okay. attempting to describe.
Yep. And so we put that on the planning calendar for a subsequent meeting because, again, hypothetically, mm-hmm. if you think about the Dalpay property, there are trees there. We want to save them. This seems like a good use of this type of money to be able to purchase land to protect trees from being cut.
And you don't lose it later.
Correct.
Also.
Yep.
Lose the money later.
Well, that, yes.
Yeah. Or the property.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Thank you. Mr. Majors, I appreciate you looking out of the box in that, because that's exactly what I had thought of as well. In fact, I did the Dalpay property was something that that I was thinking of, and in fact, I've had conversations on that. Another one, well, I don't need to mention the other one, but I do have a couple of clarification questions here. Councilmember Simpson was kind enough to hand me this, and I know she mentioned a number of 231,000. Is it that we can only go back within 5 years, it's a use it or lose it type thing?
We have to spend the money within 5 years of okay. receiving it.
My question,
or encumber it. Yeah.
Okay, my question then would be, if I may just, we're not able to use these numbers anymore. So if any monies that we received prior to 2014, those have either been used, or that money has been given back to the company or individual or builder or whatever that brought those in, using the used to
not to both yes and no. So second one, for we have never given money back to anybody, nor has anybody ever come and requested money.
Are we required to?
Well, that's a kind of an interesting question. Let me answer it this way, and Don can correct me. If more than 5 years have passed, uh-huh. and we've collected it in this fund for this purpose, and someone comes in and requests, somebody who is legally eligible to come in, the developer, yeah. And request it, certainly we are required to give them their money back if it hasn't been spent or encumbered in that time period. So that's pretty clear. What's not 100% clear, I think, is if the money's not spent and someone doesn't come in and ask for it, then what happens to the money?
Right.
And further complicating that is typically these are developers, and almost exclusively every development that comes in is an LLC. There might be an overarching company, but the LLC is formed for the development and then is extinguished or expires.
Perfect. So it sounds like there's some gray area there that we're just not really sure about.
That's correct.
Of course, we want to abide by all the rules and the laws and all that. So I think we probably need to look into that, at least to a comfortability factor.
Yes. And right. And just to be clear about an earlier number in relation to your question, what we have found is that this point in time today, at worst, at worst risk, the amount of money that's at risk right now is about $15,000. So in other words, the money that we've received more than five years ago has already been expended, with the exception of about $15,000. That $15,000 is in that gray area right now.
Okay, and I'm assuming that we're required to keep track of that?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, yep. The next question I have is, we really only, in worst case scenario, are required to, within that 5 year, use it or lose it, 2014 number.
Yep.
Okay, all right, perfect. So I'm on the same page as far as that goes. Now, are we required to stick it into some sort of interest-bearing account, something of that nature? So I guess what I'm getting at is, if all the numbers are out there, what we've collected, okay, if we are required to put it in an interest-bearing account, then there's interest on top of that. So that number that is showing right here, something may increase, or you see where I'm getting at in this. That's my question. What's the real number? Do we know that real number? How certain are we of that real number?
So we allocate interest income to every fund, and we do that now. What I have avoided is waiting until I know that there's a risk of what we need to give back, because why calculate what the interest money might be to a particular account if we're going to spend it, right? And so up until recently, and I mean, it's real recent that I discovered the five-year thing, that there was no need to try and calculate that. Now, depending on what Don finds out, it'll be pretty easily to go back and calculate $15,000 of that interest. It doesn't make sense to calculate interest on $138,050 that you have on your slide here if we're going to spend it.
But it has been accruing interest in the sense that money, this money, is, as I mentioned before, in the park fund.
Right.
So there are other sources of revenue and other balance in that fund. In the aggregate, meaning this tree and fee money and all the other money that's in that park fund, has been accruing interest.
Okay. So as far as the interest goes, should that not be part of the money into this? Or are you guys looking to put it someplace else?
My estimation is this. That the statute says, and Don, correct me if I'm wrong, the statute says that we will provide interest back upon the reimbursement to the contractor. There's two caveats about that. One is if the developer's at fault or if the city's at fault, whether we give interest at all. That's what the statute reads, okay? Otherwise, why calculate the interest? That it's disposable to the parks fund, and that's where I'd like to keep it, so that the city council can have it for more flexibility to use it for that. All of the money that is owed the parks fund goes into the parks fund. Now, if we give some money back to whatever the developer might be, then it would be carving out a slice of the money that's already been earned in the parks fund to receipt back. And that would be the $15,000. And that really wasn't measurable until this week, when we determined that we had actually exceeded the five-year limitation.
Okay, Justin, you're talking about having to figure out interest. Don't you get bank statements?
That's not the issue. We already have it accounted for. If you look at your six-year plan.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be argumentative, but why would you have to figure out interest if you get it on a piece of paper?
Let me try. So we have the interest in the entirety of the fund. So again, we keep all that money in the parks fund. It's one giant lump sum.
So you have a parks fund and then a tree fund.
Well, the tree money is in the parks fund. It's not a separate line item.
Then.
It's a separate line item in that fund.
Okay.
So we make sure we don't spend it on park capital. So if you go to your budget in the six-year forecast and you look in the parks fund at the very top, maybe second line in black, I believe, it says tree fee in lieu restricted Something.
Showing him.
Thank you.
So the two, that's where you came up with the 231? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, okay.
So at the very bottom of that, the 1.2 million or whatever is in that fund, that we get a statement that whole fund is drawing interest. So that interest stays in that fund. The only time we would ever need to calculate how much interest we might owe somebody is if we somebody came in and
wants it back.
Right, and so that's what Don is saying.
Years. Right. No, I got that part. Yeah.
But we do know how much interest we get in the whole.
Okay, but the interest that's occurred in there, that's this fund.
It's in the parks fund,
Yeah, so realistically, the point I guess I'm trying to make realistically is the 231,150 or whatever it is, that's just that doesn't include interest.
Actually,
or does it?
Well, I think you just said you pointed to the fund. It's not. So it's the interest stays in the parks fund. The base money that you see here is what's on that line item restricted. So the interest, Don, do I have this right? The interest in the fund isn't being redistributed to that line.
So that's how you do it accounting-wise. Mm-hmm. So I would pose to our city attorney, is that the accurate way when you do your research? Is that the accurate way to, I guess, present this or have it stay in there or be able to be used or whatever?
So I believe the question is a functional question. In that, I know the statute says that you refund with interest, and then I would defer to the finance director on how he calculates the interest and how he presents it. So again, if it's 10 or 15,000, he would identify the interest owed on that amount and
for 5 years.
Fine, obviously. But how he presents it in the budget, I would defer to the finance director and to the council as to how they want to see it. But there's no legal requirement other than they get the correct interest if there's a refund. That's the legal requirement.
I think your question and what you're trying to...
Or maybe I don't understand.
No, I think you're mostly... what I think you're asking is if this money is sitting in this fund as a separate line item and it's accruing interest as just its proportionate share of that fund, shouldn't this 138 be going up every year with interest accrued, right? Is that what you're saying?
We should see another number other than just what's been put in there.
And so...
It's kind of like you got a little stash. Yeah. I'm not saying you do, but it just...
Right. Well, it's in the fund. It's in the overall fund. And so as Don said before, as long as we're spending the money timely... we're not at any risk of having to figure out interest to pay somebody
and
back.
And the interest isn't part of that at all.
But I think the question, and maybe you can answer this, because I get where you're going, is the amount of money we're supposed to be spending $138,000, or is the amount of money we're supposed to be spending required to spend $138,000 plus whatever the interest is?
No, it would be the amount that they provided to the city, not plus the interest.
That's right.
You get the interest if you refund it.
Yes, and that's what we've been at.
The statute doesn't authorize the payment.
Correct.
So they're not going to get the payment of what they paid plus interest and then interest because it's the one sum. So if they paid $10,000 and we did not expend or... was it not to spend, but to encumber in the 5 years, then we calculate the interest. But that original 10 does not change.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So it doesn't incrementally grow.
I'm with you. Thank you. I just see some things here.
The clock doesn't tick until somebody determines that there's an issue.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilmember Bissett.
Are you sure that's the correct interpretation? Because another interpretation is all the money that comes in is tagged and it accrues interest. So are you sure the proper interpretation is not totally yours, but the fact that it should keep the interest with the money so that it can be used? That's my question.
So what I will do, that was my understanding. It's always been my understanding. It's the initial amount, and then if for some reason you have to provide a refund, then you calculate the interest. But I will come back to the council. I'll do some more research to determine if that's if my interpretation is incorrect. But I do believe it is the original statement I made.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Simpson?
Okay. Getting back to mitigation, the whole point of paying for trees is to mitigate the trees that the developer couldn't plant. It's all about the trees. It's not about the money. It's about the trees. If the developer could have planted them, they would have planted the trees. We've given them an easy way out by giving them, allowing them to give us money, and now we have the burden of planting trees. So the question is the mitigation. Are we getting the correct mitigation? Are we getting, for the Risdon Trail, for $33,000, how many trees were planted in the Risdon Trail that were over 2-inch caliper, 2-inch diameter trees? How many trees were over 2-inch diameter that were planted for the Risdon Trail?
I don't have that information available right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the point. The point was we're supposed to do the same thing the developer did.
Well, if I may, I think that's your interpretation. Nowhere in the ordinance does it say that. It just says it's for planting trees.
Right. I know it's for planting trees, but this is to mitigate what the developer couldn't do. So my opinion is we're supposed to do it the way the developers were supposed to do it, and that's plant.
And I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, I don't.
Burlapped 2-inch staked. Substantial trees.
It doesn't say that, and I understand why.
It doesn't.
I understand why you want that. It's just a little bit more challenging to do it.
Is it? My point of view is, we got $33,000 from Eden Grove, and that was a ridiculous amount for tree that we got. It was ridiculous. We're never going to be able to plant 491 trees for $33,000, and that's how many trees the developer was going to plant that couldn't plant. And we're never be able to do it. So that's, to me, that's a wash. That's ridiculous. So getting our bang for the buck for the $33,000. But for the remainder of this, I'd like to know how many trees we're getting, because I'm ready to make a motion to disband the fee in lieu process altogether if the city can't plant the number of trees that the developer was required to mitigate. That this process is not working. It's not yielding the goal that was originally intended. And that was to plant as many trees as the developer was required to plant. So that's my point. But in the meantime, what are we going to do with the money?
Councilmember Majors.
Thank you. Just with regard to Councilmember Simpson's comments and direction that she prefers, I totally understand that direction. But it still brings me back to the question that I asked earlier and that was responded to by council. How might we be able to expand the use of those funds? You focused entirely on trees. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Mm-hmm. Just straightforward, I haven't. Not numbers of trees, mm-hmm. individual trees. I'm more looking at, okay, we have this money. Can we use it in the good nature of collecting property that has more trees for the city? That's basically my question.
Okay, I actually have a couple of questions. And everybody seems to have had an opportunity to speak multiple times. So is there any possibility to expand the option to use this money toward replacing shrubbery or other landscaping? I know it's a stretch. I totally get that.
No, I laugh because I literally just said that right before you said it. I just said that to Dawn. We have to look at that. Very possibly, yes. And again, that would be one of those potential changes to tweak this ordinance.
Okay.
Is to not just say planting trees, to plant or acquire trees or shrubs. So
I talked to a landscape architect and there's multi-stem trees, like a vine maple can be mm-hmm. considered a tree.
Okay.
Oh. So for example, I think, I don't remember, Jeff, do you remember for Coal Creek Parkway for the other landscaping work? I feel like there's like
$30,000 in shrubs.
Yeah, $30,000 in shrubs. What is the goal of the tree ordinance? Is it actual trees or is it the environmental aspect of CO2 absorption and having plants? If you can make that connection and the council is comfortable with it, that would offset that expense or potentially right this year. That helps reduce that money. I believe that's coming out of the street fund.
Which is?
Well,
so we have about 33, just on Coal Creek Parkway, I think we have $33,000 in shrub planting. So if we could use this money for that fund this year and ongoing, that helps offset that expense and you're still planting things.
Well, and what I'm thinking about too is the Rhodey Park. You know, there's no irrigation down there for one thing, which is problematic in trying to keep things alive. I keep hoping the development going and we can work some kind of a deal and they can provide some form of irrigation to that little park.
Right, because that was the neighbors were originally kind of watering it from their own.
Exactly. Yeah. And right now it's play equipment and a basketball court, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But it'd be nice to have some aesthetic look down there. And then the other thing, can we eliminate the time frame of the 5 years?
No.
That's state law. Okay.
Yeah, we'd love to. But
no. Okay. Just personally, I'm feeling like we need to get more information that our city attorney has offered to compile and get clarification on for us. And we have tree retention coming up in a couple of weeks. Was that the date?
The contract for the tree plan?
Yeah,
I think that's our next.
For the Hazelwood that we just talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, so that actually I put a hold on it to go to the Finance Committee pending our discussion tonight. So it's ready to go.
Oh, okay. So
is that the tree planting plan or is that the tree taking down contract you're thinking of?
No, it's the tree planting plan.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, we've had this discussion for about 45 minutes now, and I'm just feeling like we're not getting anywhere because we need more information.
Well,
I have some more to say, and I have a couple of motions to make.
Okay, then go ahead, Councilmember Simpson.
Thank you. I have a question about the Hazelwood Park reforestation because we did this once before. We did Hazelwood Park a few years ago when there were complaints from neighbors about falling trees. The city went through there, removed a lot of trees, did a planting plan.
We did Hazelwood Park. No.
We didn't do the plant. I know we took trees down in there.
They did a planting deal, too.
No.
I remember it.
I don't think so. I was here.
It wasn't a P number or a T or any of the CIP numbers, but we did a project in Hazelwood Park a few years ago. I vividly remember walking through the park and seeing what was done. The trees were felled, but they were left on the ground. New things were planted. And it cost about that same amount of money, about $28,000 is my recollection. I would really like you to look
that
up.
We'll look for that.
And when you do come back, would you bring tree numbers with this proposed plans?
So the amount of trees that we've planted or proposed? So
how many trees is this going to net?
So the tree plan, sorry, Jeff, the tree plan, we don't have it yet.
Make up a number.
Yeah, we don't have the plan yet, so I can't give you a number of how many trees they're proposing.
You're spending, $28,000 just on a consultant to make the plan?
Trust me, it gives me great heartburn when I see that number.
Just to throw out some numbers, Foxwoods, the most recent plat that the council approved, they had to plant 185 significant replace 185 significant trees. They did 131 on site, and they are paying a fee in lieu for 168 trees. And they paid $81,000 for those 168 trees, which comes to only $482.42 per tree. That was for Foxwoods, the most recent plat. They're building the homes now. Ken Moore, and this is for the Planning Commission and our staff to hear, Ken Moore has an ordinance about tree windthrow. When trees are eliminated throughout the city, you get little solitary trees left standing. And when you build around those trees, you disturb the roots and stuff, and that creates a hazard, again, for the trees to fall over, the windthrow. So they've adopted an ordinance on how to work around trees to reduce windthrow. And part of the thing is we could plant more trees around these solitary trees to protect them. So as the new trees grow up, the older trees are protected. An area, for example, is the top edge of the developments along Coal Creek Parkway that are at the edge of the top of the hill. The city couldn't plant that hillside, and now it's growing up with probably cottonwoods and alders, which are all weed trees, which are all going to be a liability in 20 years and to be falling down and creating a big mess. And they're going to endanger those big trees on the top of the hill. So if we planted trees that will hold the hill, like pine maples and cedars and Douglas fir, and take out the weed trees, that would be a better thing. Likewise, when Steve Osgathorpe was talking about the native growth protection easements where the tracks were leaving, where we're just leaving all the trees, even the trees that are hazard trees, instead of evaluating the quality of trees that we're calling significant trees and saving, that would be a better way to go about things. So there's things we could improve to the code. So regarding the tree fee in lieu, I have a motion that we request staff to create a process for tracking tree in lieu trees as required by each plat approval, along with the funds collected to ensure that we take advantage of all the available funds within the 5-year time frame. So here's a copy of the motion so that you can hear it. And that's much like the motion that Councilmember Kameen and I were discussing. It's the second motion on this little sheets.
Oh, did you get one? Okay. Okay, a motion's been made.
Second.
Do I have a second for the motion?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. The motion is for staff to create a process for tracking tree in lieu trees planted as required by each plat approval along with the funds collected, and to ensure the city takes advantage of all available funds within a 5-year time frame. Councilmember Simpson, would you like to speak to your motion?
Well, that's basically what the staff is providing up on the screen today, is they're providing a new process to make sure we spend the money in a 5-year time frame. What's lacking is the mitigation, is tracking the number of trees planted, that we're getting the correct mitigation, because that's what is essential to their process, that if we're going to continue to accept fee in lieu funds, as some council members have thought that this would be a good thing to continue as a fund for the future, we need to make sure we're getting the correct mitigation for the funds received. So that's what this process, and we're almost there.
Councilmember Kameen, do you have a comment?
I have a couple of comments. The first one is with regard to what we've got right here. I just want to make sure that in 2014, we collected $135,000. I just want to make sure we've taken care of that.
No, that one.
The spreadsheet here.
Yeah, the 200. I just want to make sure that we're spending all of that and we're not losing it in those numbers that you just showed us. Kind of a clarification question.
This equals 138,000 and this equals 135,000. So the answer to the question is yes.
But there was a 43,000 prior to that.
That's already gone.
That's already. Okay, that's taken care of.
Well,
okay. All right. Okay, so you're just doing this. Okay.
Yeah, so
this is just towards the 135.
Correct.
Okay,
but to be clear though, what you're asking is the pre this 5-year window. If I mentioned before, there's about $15,000 we're unsure about. Right. Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that 2014. Yep. Okay. In terms of the motion, I have to say that I'm all for the tracking. I want to make sure that we spend the money, but I do not agree in the making sure that we have the same number of trees. I think my interpretation is that we're trying to make sure that we have a landscape improvement from what we've lost, and that may or may not be the same number of trees. I'm all for this except for doing the trees. So can I do an amendment on my own seconded motion?
Okay.
Okay, I just want to amend this to say that we're going to track the tree in lieu projects and fees required, collected, required by each plat, create a process for tracking tree in lieu funds
as required by each plat.
As required by each plat, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, we have an amendment to the motion. The motion is to require a tracking the tree in lieu funds as required by each plat, and it's been seconded. Any additional comments about the amendment, Councilmember Kameen?
No, I think it retains the spirit of what we're trying to track, and I don't think, as Director Braun said, I don't think we're going to get the same number of trees. It's kind of informational, but it's not part of what we need to implement.
Okay. Any other comments? Council Member Majors.
We're not addressing number one right now, correct?
Correct. It's number two on that,
it's number two on that sheet of paper. I guess I would comment, I don't understand any difference between what we've been presented here versus this motion. I just don't see the need. Is there a need to ask them to do what they're doing?
No.
That's the question.
Thank you. And if I can get our city manager, Council Member Majors had a question about, it appears this is already being, this task that we're asking.
Yeah, I guess I would interpret the motion to say to continue doing it. Right? I mean, this is the first time I think you've seen it in this format, so yes, we've done it.
Continue tracking rather than create a process. Mm-hmm. We have a process, in other words, we're looking at it.
Well, we have data. So, we have data right now.
Yeah. Okay, so just real briefly, I'd like to speak before we vote on the amendment. I have to agree with Council Member Majors. I feel this is being done. I don't feel it is, a council position to direct staff to do what they're already doing. It seems a little bit redundant. So I will not support the amendment. Any other comments? Council Member Simpson.
Thank you. I'm not going to support the amendment. The whole thing about mitigation is about the trees, and we need to have a tree count in here. That's the only way to ensure that we are following up on what the developer was supposed to do, is plant trees, and in the numbers the developer was supposed to plant. And if we can't do that, if we're only tracking money, we wouldn't require developers to do that, just to show us the money. No, we're out there counting trees. And that's why they have to do a tree plan where they do the size and diameter and species of every tree on the site. And that's what we require them to do. And then we require their arborist to evaluate each tree to its health and whether it can be retained. And if it can't, then we ask them to get three bids. We ask them to do an awful lot. But for 9 years, we basically haven't done anything to plant trees to implement this process of mitigation. And there were hundreds of trees taken down at Eden Grove. That whole hillside was all wonderful trees. And I'm reminded by old neighbors of the Olympus Hill was also a hill covered with trees that when our homes were built, they were removed. We've got a huge net tree loss, a canopy loss. We've never looked at our tree canopy in the city, whereas other cities, Bellevue is trying to increase their tree canopy because they know they've had a loss. They're trying to get it back. They're a tree city, a city in the park. We have to count trees in order to make this a viable process.
Okay, I'm going to move the amendment to a vote. All in favor of the amendment to track the tree in lieu funds as required by plat. Pardon me?
And the rest of it.
Oh. The amendment reads to track the tree in lieu funds as required by each plat approval along with the funds collected and to ensure we take advantage of all available funds within the 5-year time frame. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails 3-3. Okay, back to the original motion. The motion is that staff create
a process for tracking tree-in-lieu trees planted as required by each plat approval, along with the funds collected, and to ensure we take advantage of all available funds within the 5-year time frame. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. No. Motion fails 3-3. Okay.
Can I make a quick comment about this? I guess Councilmember Simpson, we'll see where this ends in this discussion in a little bit. As I mentioned before, we're proposing to bring back the tree fee in lieu, or the whole the tree replacement ordinance, I forgot its title, to bring back concepts like the shrubbery or other uses for it. I think Councilmember Simpson, there's a chance to get another bite at the apple in that regard. But I think that's the play, because again, the ordinance, there's no requirement to replant trees, it's to spend money. I understand where you're coming from, but maybe there's something else we can think of to, you know, get a little bit closer to that versus just a requirement to track the trees. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. The other issue we wanted to, there were two things we wanted to talk about besides tree fee and lieu. We wanted to talk about maintenance and management of city-owned trees and parks, open spaces, and such. So I brought a proposal. I move that staff bring to council proposed policy for the maintenance of city-owned trees and parks, open spaces, swim tracks, native growth protection tracks, to include possibly an inventory of city-owned trees, policy of when to remove trees, maintenance plans, replacement policy for cut trees, and identification of tree needs around the city.
Did you move it?
That's what I moved.
Okay. Second.
Okay, a motion's been made and seconded. Councilmember Simpson, would you like to speak to your motion?
Well, this goes hand in hand with all the planting plans and what the staff had up here on the screen, that they've identified areas of the city that need more trees. And in driving around the city, I see tracks and parks, open spaces, places along Coal Creek Parkway that could do with additional trees, where trees were taken down by homes along Coal Creek Parkway and not replaced when Coal Creek Parkway took over those home sites and widened the street and left Hardpan where those homes were along Lake Bourne Park and Lake Bourne. Places where we could reinforce existing stands of trees with additional trees around those stands so that they remain healthy, and serious evaluation when we do cut down trees. If there's an expense like $2,500 or $5,000 to take down a Douglas fir, are we sure that's the real cost? Or because that's some good lumber there, and I hate to see. I was looking for the contract with the people who are doing that work. I couldn't find it for 2018 or 2019. I might have overlooked it on the list of contracts. The climbing tree at Lake Bourne Park, one of our most favorite trees in the city. I want to make sure that that's well cared for, that when it's limbed up, it's not endangered for its health. When it's climbed on, it's not endangered for its health. The replacement tree, when we took out the tree that was in the other end of the park where the audio people used to sit, and we had to take that out because it was diseased, and then the Community Activities Commission spent a lot of time and energy selecting a new tree to plant. Did that tree survive? I thought I saw it dying in the park. I don't know if it survived. Are we taking care of the trees on Newcastle Way? We had a drought in March. No rain whatsoever. I don't see gator bags on those trees to make sure they're adequately watered in the first 2 years of their lives, to make sure that they don't die. I've seen other streets where street trees have been put in and they're dead and gone. The stakes are still there, but the tree's dead. That doesn't make any sense. That this is not how we should value our trees in the city. So we need to do a better job.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Councilmember Kameen.
I seconded it. So, okay. I think this is just a responding to what City Manager Wyman said. We have trees and what the landscape looks like around the city hasn't been something that's been in the front of our mind. I think it's a good idea to take a look at that, see what we can do to make our city as beautiful as we can. And in this motion, I think, you know, it can be small or large, but at least it gives us an opportunity to sit down and say, okay, what are some of the things we'd like to include in a policy for as an ongoing activity for us for the city. So I think it's a positive thing to move forward.
Councilmember Mitchell.
I'm not going to support this motion at this time. I'm more interested in waiting to hear back from the attorney and see what we can, what our options are, how far we can stretch, I guess, verbiage.
Gross.
So, yeah, I would, yeah, the Dow Pay property, I'd love to put money towards just the cost of the legal end of it, you know, or the elementary school. You know, if we have to take down a tree, if the striping doesn't work, I mean, granted, we've talked with the Issaquah School District, and if the dollar amount to redo that, if the striping doesn't work, was approximately $300,000, you know, if we can word it for trees, I don't know. Anyway.
Councilmember Majors.
Thank you, Chair Newing. I totally understand the intent of this motion, but I also will not support the motion. And I concur with those comments made by Councilmember Mitchell. And in addition, as we are going through a fiscal sustainability plan that's considering everything that our city is doing and performing in terms of functions, I look at this motion, number one, on this currently, the motion on the table, and I say, how are you going to fund that? And what do you propose we put in the budget to be able to pull this off? Because to me, I see consulting for this, and I see staff time, mm-hmm. and I don't believe we have either. Mm-hmm. And we have projects, in fact, in front of us, and it's a nice packet, that were approved for 2019 that we all had an opportunity to provide guidance for. And now we're coming back as early as April and trying to add a very significant project to Public Works, which is already fairly well loaded if you look at the project list for 2019. Therefore, I won't be supporting this motion.
Okay, I just have a comment and we'll move it to a vote. I agree with you, Councilmember Majors. You literally took the words right out of my mouth. This is a little bit premature, although I do understand the intent. I feel like this is also bringing up our contract with our arborist, and how much more do we want to beef up that contract and to what cost? I think right now it's not the smartest way to spend our money. I trust our arborist. The staff has hired a good arborist, I'm sure. I also trust our maintenance staff and what they're doing as far as maintaining parks and trees and so forth. But I just feel this is a little bit of the cart before the horse. So with that, I'd like to... Councilmember Simpson.
I just wanted to add regarding purchasing property. It was I who found documentation that fee in lieu mitigation funds could be used to purchase land that has trees on it, and that's where Rob Wyman got the idea, was from me. And you will notice on the back of your packet, the blue, the council adopted policies and strategies for this year is to evaluate existing tree policies and regulations for possible improvements. This motion is just asking the staff to look at our processes of maintaining trees and so forth. It's not rocket science. You don't have to hire a consultant. All you have to do is look at Bellevue. They have best management practices for maintaining their trees. You just make a copy of that and change the word Bellevue to Newcastle. You got it done. I've already done it. And this isn't a capital improvement project. This is parks and streets. That's where the tree money goes, cutting down trees in parks and streets. And if we can cut less trees down in the future, we can afford to maintain our trees.
Councilmember Kameen.
Yeah, I would just say that I'm looking at this only as coming up with some ideas for a policy and not a big major project. Or and obviously projects would follow on later. And that's I agree. I don't want to spend money on this at this point in time, but I'd like to see a policy. That's why I have supported this motion.
Okay, the motion on the table is that staff bring to council a proposed policy for the maintenance of city-owned trees in parks, open spaces, tracts, to include possibly an inventory of city-owned trees, policy of when to remove trees, maintenance plans, replacement policy for cut trees, and identification of trees tree needs in around the city. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
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 Motion fails 2-4 with council members Kameen and Simpson dissenting. Okay, moving on in our agenda. Public comment. Our public's leaving. Good night, Mr. Gadzik. Okay, council committee reports. Do we have a finance report, Councilmember Majors?
No, we haven't met since our last meeting, but we have a meeting coming up next week, if the schedule is maintained as it stands, on for Wednesday morning at 9:30.
Okay, thank you. No salary and benefits committee meeting, any regional committee meetings? Councilmember Kameen.
Yes, we had an ETP meeting last week, and we heard from a person from the Port of Seattle talking about the Strategic Airport Master Plan, and they're currently going through a 10-year plan and a 20-year plan of what we're going to need in terms of air transportation in the area. It turns out that our airport is the 8th busiest airport in the nation. And last year they had 46.9 million passengers go through there. So they are really working hard on how do we maintain the throughput that we need. And they're very glad that they have the North Satellite up in Everett that's helping a little bit, but not very much there. So they're going through long-range planning for how do we support air transportation in this area. We also heard from Metro Services, and they're talking about different kinds of community connections. And basically, they handed out maps for all different kinds of carpooling, school pooling, new maps and routes for buses, etc. And unfortunately, I've got a copy of the maps, and everything starts at Bellevue and goes north, and there's very little below Bellevue, so we were not exactly included. So that is... That's right. That's the end of my report.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. The other regional committees, Wyra 8, Ms. Wack, SCA, Mayor Dodderman's not here. So, okay, city manager report.
Thank you. So you have my written report. I use the word my loosely since I wasn't here when this was written, so I didn't write this. But happy to answer any questions on the written portion. Also attached is the quarterly update of the work plan, and if people have any questions about that, happy to talk about that as well. Couple updates I'll get to in a sec, first one on the screen, and then I just also want to point out, as we segue from this report to the calendar, I have a couple items in relation to the fiscal sustainability plan and some upcoming meetings that I want to talk about, so just mentally prepare that we're not ready to walk right out the door when we get to calendar. This picture you see here is day one of the new striping. And so Newcastle Elementary is up, as you follow these cars, and the entrance is to the right where you see the end of the line. There are now two lanes heading this direction. And so if you recall, what used to happen before, this would back up and there was no way to get past the line of traffic until there was a little turnout right near the entrance or midway between those signs. So people were shooting into oncoming traffic head on to go around this line of people. Now there is a travel lane you see free and clear heading, I guess, north, or yeah, I guess that's north there. This is what it looks like as you enter the school. And again, there used to be just one lane.
So the double yellow move left?
It was just wider. It was like, I believe the fog line. Do we have a...
There was not a double yellow before.
Yeah, yeah. So people would just shoot across, because you can.
Because you can.
Yep. So it's day one. This was done today. People were, you know, you see the long line of traffic. They were queuing properly. They're as you round the bend, they weren't necessarily following the little. I don't know if you can see it here, but there's a little hatched out area. So you're basically supposed to stop right at that stop bar on the right where it says "Be prepared to stop." You can see that hatching just past the crosswalk. That's an area, there's a sign there that says basically don't block that box just because of the sight distance as people leave the school. So we're going to talk to the police, see if we can get them out there and just, you know, do some friendly reminders for a bit so people don't stop there. But so far, so good, day one. Again, it's safer certainly for the people coming, leaving the other direction. We'll see how people, we had some video, Carrie was out there today as people were leaving the school. They were slowing down and looking both ways. If someone were to kind of just blow through there, it would be dangerous because there is that extra through lane now. But as you can see, the amount of people that come through there during pickup and even drop off in the morning, this seems to be working. So we're gonna let this run to the end of the school year, see how it worked, and if it's sufficient, then great. If it's not, then we roll to that capital project that we have and talk to the school district about splitting whatever those repairs would be or improvements would be.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. We have a couple questions.
Oh, Councilmember Mitchell.
Just one. Because we're not sure, I mean, we're crossing our fingers and knocking on wood, yeah, and all that, hoping that this works. I didn't see whether or not... Is that paint or is that permanent? At least for now.
Well, it's permanent.
It's permanent. Paint. Okay, so it. Okay, gotcha. I just wasn't sure if you were going to do the test in paint or whatever.
Did,
okay,
yeah,
so
paint.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Any other councilmember majors?
And is it appropriate to ask about projects at this point?
Sure.
You referred to.
Yep. I guess the only other two quick things before I go to the projects.
Great.
One, I just have to be careful here because it's about the parks levy, so I'm just being factual. I'm not advocating for or against the potential parks levy on the ballot in, I believe, August. But if you've seen the numbers that's in the proposal there, we get roughly about $30,000 a year from pass-through from the parks levy, King County Parks Levy. Under the new proposal, that goes up to about $150,000 is their estimate for Newcastle. That's their... Yes.
Is that based on the incredibly inflated open space?
Hold on. So plans? I'm gonna actually stop you there. I was very cautious with
the
city manager.
Yeah.
We can't have discussions debate. Or debate about a existing bond unless it's factual. The reason I interjected, and I apologize for that, but is because of the adjectives. Which could be perceived as one way or the other. However, so for state law requires that we not use public facilities for ballots or for candidates. But if this council would like to discuss any type of bond measure that's pending, you can direct staff to put it on an agenda, and then we would be required to notice it as required by law to bring in people to discuss for or against a pending bond measure. So that's why I interjected, because I don't want someone to interpret statements as either for or against something when it's just about facts. So if the council would like us to bring it forward, please have us put it on agenda, and I'll make sure it's noticed as required by law, and then you can discuss it to your heart's content.
My apologies. I meant to say something before I said that we can't discuss it or debate that. But there is information available online. Last item I was going to mention, I think most of the information is out, but there's pretty much closed on this. You know, we had a shooting about a week or so ago, kind of a pretty sad ending to the whole affair. But I don't want to say the case is closed because there's still some side investigations. But all I think everything that you've heard at this point is what you're going to hear about it, and it's wrapped up. Like again, just a very sad ending to the day into the night. But it could have actually been a lot worse, a matter of inches, and a couple other people might not have made it. So we're lucky in that regard. And finally, the legislative session is getting near the end of their session. It's scheduled to end on April 28th. They are tomorrow, end of the day tomorrow is the time and day when any bills that are still alive have to be out of their opposite house. So if it's a Senate bill, it has to be passed by the Senate and out of the House as well. If there's still differences in the two versions, that's fine. But a version of the same of the bill needs to be out of both houses by 5 o'clock tomorrow. So things are kind of coalescing quickly. And there's, you know, happy to answer any specific questions about or any questions about any specific bills, but they're falling by the wayside quickly here. A lot of those. Councilmember Majors had a question about the work plan, I believe.
Did a quick one, I believe, on public works in the 2019 work plans, transportation. We have, and congratulations to Director Bronze. I happen to see the publication of we're out to bid for our pavement overlay program for Newcastle. And in fact, I think we got out to bid the same day that Bellevue hit the papers with their request for.
I don't know what their schedule is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's competition out there for those resources. And it's very important for us to have that bid work underway. And thank you for your excellent effort to get that out. But point of clarification or clarifying question is our crack sealing program a part of this overlay bid, or
no,
is that separate?
Separate.
Okay. And is that something we will then see
next
later?
Next year. We won't do any crack sealing.
You're going to alternate years on the
correct
crack sealing. That's
correct.
Where I was not
right
certain.
Okay. And one of the main factors in that is the contractors that pave mainly Watson and Lakeside, they're the local ones. They just want to push out asphalt. They don't want to mess with doing crack sealing. They don't usually have that specialty, so they have to then subcontract that out. So if we were to do it this year, we'd do a separate contract, and then that's just another contract to administer and bid out.
I see. So you do it next year when we're
correct
not doing overlay that year.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Councilmember Kameen.
Yeah, I just had one question under the police area, and it says we are looking to expand our police mountain bicycle fleet. I just wasn't sure what that was.
we used to have I forgot how many bikes back in the day. I think we still have one kind of old beat up bike. So as the weather gets nicer, it's actually pretty convenient for the officers to patrol, certainly the Lake Bourne Park and the downtown. It's harder to be seen if you're on bike. So the bad guys don't see you as easily, and they're pretty agile on those, and they take training and certification on it. Yep. So it's kind of a nice way, to be able to cover a little bit wider or more different area than they can in their vehicles.
Part of the wellness plan.
Yeah.
Yep. Councilmember Mitchell.
I'm sorry, did you say we still have those bikes?
I think
we have two.
We have two downstairs in the hallway as you go down. Yeah,
okay.
I'm just not sure what condition. I think they need a little bit of upgrades on them, but, bikes to bikes.
Those things can get expensive.
They can, yeah.
Yep. $800 a shot,
yep,
or whatever they are.
No, they're not cheap, especially the police ones.
Yeah.
They have some extra features.
Hopefully, when they train, can they
ride and shoot? I don't know. I think that's probably not in the protocol for them to.
You never know.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe on the side for fun.
Planning calendar.
So, as I mentioned, thank you. The upcoming planning calendar, actually, I'll just go over what's on here first and then circle back. Our next meeting, as just mentioned, we have our pavement overlay contract award on consent. We have the contract for our Coal Creek Parkway all modes. So that's that study to look at the QFC crossing, Tapatio, that road, and alternatives along that stretch. The project update I mentioned earlier as well on Southeast May Creek Park Drive, that's that contract that Councilmember Simpson mentioned. The circling back on the parking code, so if you remember, that was how long you can park how far you have to move your car. You gave us some direction a couple of meetings ago. Don will be bringing that back. Steve will be returning with the expansion of non-conforming uses. Again, the council gave some direction at previous meeting, and so hopefully we'll have that in ordinance form ready to go. The rideshare and short-term parking, we may bump that with the rest of the downtown parking discussion. It's kind of a minor tweak to our parking standards, not urgent, so we might piggyback that on another item. And then the comp plan docket, this is our annual comprehensive plan docket. It'll go to the Planning Commission before this. You'll see it, decide what's on the docket. It goes back to the Planning Commission, and it comes back to you again. It's kind of a convoluted process, but it's the state-mandated way to do business on that. Just on the second page, I want to talk about the first item, the fiscal sustainability plan. Councilmember Majors mentioned as part of his Finance Committee report, we have a meeting scheduled for next Wednesday morning. Chance, we might want to tweak the date on that if it works for the Finance Committee members about a week later, but we'll talk to you guys offline. Regardless of when that initial meeting takes place with the Finance Committee, if working backwards from the town hall, so if you recall, we have a town hall coming up on June 18th. The plan is to basically make it centered around this plan, not an adopted plan, but just kind of the findings. And to be clear, we're not proposing or scheduling this so the council adopts this plan prior to the town hall. I think this might take a little while and might just require some debate amongst the council. But that being said, I want to make sure that the council is completely comfortable in the sense of understanding what's in the proposal. You might not agree or certainly won't agree with everything that's in the proposal, but you need to feel comfortable and understand what's in there. And so if we're working backwards from that date, what's in the contract, I believe, is it's scheduled for at least one meeting with the city council for them to present to the city council the draft report. I would like to make sure you at least have a second meeting after that one prior to the town hall to make sure you, again, are comfortable with it. The other part of that initial presentation to the council, I think it'll be very difficult to squeeze that in on a regular council meeting agenda with all of the normal stuff we do. In fact, management partner Steve Toller at this very moment is sitting in Mercer Island doing that presentation for Mercer Island. And he's got it banked for three, just his presentation and discussion at 3 hours. That's a lot. It's a big thing. So what I'm getting at with all this is I would like to add a special meeting just for that topic, nothing else, no public, yeah. And the date I'm looking at, and I can, you know, we can talk about this offline via email as well. The ideal date, I have three choices, and I think the ideal date, the first choice would be Tuesday, May 14th. We can start it early at 5 o'clock or whatever time works best for the council, but on the earlier side, probably about 3 hours. And just have them do their presentation and have you ask questions with the goal of getting through it all and then them coming back at probably that first meeting in June, our first meeting June 4th, and following up so you're prepared for the 18th. That would be, in terms of the schedule with the Finance Committee, them responding to the Finance Committee and then getting this out, that is the ideal date. Second backup plan, not as ideal, would be May 7th. So that squeezes the time between the Finance Committee and the council, but we could make that work. The downside would be that we would have to push off all of the things scheduled for May 7th, which is our regular meeting, and figure out what we do with them. So again, the first choice, May 14th, is an additional meeting. Second plan would be just to bump most or all of our stuff on May 7th. And then the third option, an additional meeting as well, and would be May 28th. So those are the May 14th and May 28th are the two options for new meetings. The downside with option three, May 28th, is that it's really close to June 4th. It's a week. So you're going to get this big presentation. You're going to ask some questions. You're probably going to go home and think of more questions. And then immediately you're already a week, you know, less than a week before it comes back to you. Get all that figured out. It doesn't give them much time to turn around 2 weeks later and have a big public meeting about it. And again, as I stated at the beginning of this, I want everybody, myself included, Don included, to all feel comfortable with what's in this matrix and plan. And so I doubt everybody has their calendar in front of them right now, but I will send these out to you via email tomorrow, but May 14th, if it's at all possible, that would be the ideal date to add a meeting. That all make sense?
Our regular meeting, thank you. Our regular meeting would be May 7 and May 21.
Right.
That'd be correct?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So you'd be bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And we can.
Yeah. My only concern about the 28th is the day after Memorial Day. That,
yeah, it's a tough week. And it's, as I mentioned,
been on vacation. Yep. We've been on vacation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 14th is by far the best date to make this work. So I'll reach out via email about those dates, if you can look at them and be prepared sometime tomorrow when you see an email to try to get. The other part of this is I really want to get back. So I talked to Steve Toler today, Don and I did, and we kind of had him hold these dates, but he can't hold them very long. And we're working around his vacation and some other things as well. So any questions about that and schedule and calendared items?
I'm okay for
14th or
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's one. All right. Two, three, right out of the gate. All right.
I just wanted to say I am trying to make more trips to Las Vegas to visit my father, who's now in hospice care.
Oh, I'm sorry. He moved. Your father's 94?
93.
That's too bad. Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's all I have then.
Actually, we have one more item. The June 18th, that would be our normal council meeting for the third Tuesday. And that has now become our town hall. And what I am looking for is a
move
motion
to cancel the June 18th meeting.
Can I finish, please?
Okay.
A motion to convert the June 18th regular meeting to a special meeting so we can hold our town hall.
So moved. So if I may, just to flesh that out, I believe the motion would be to cancel your regular meeting and then also add a special meeting at the, the golf club?
So I move to cancel the June 18th regular meeting and to add a special meeting that evening as a town hall.
Second.
Okay, motion's been moved and seconded to cancel our June 18th meeting and add a special meeting for the town hall on June 18th. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it 6-0. And I believe that concludes our agenda.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.